Hello, I'm Georgina Robinson.
And I'm Tom Deason.
Welcome to the Rugby World Cup Daily. Coming to you from Japan every day throughout the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
Hello and welcome to Rugby World Cup Daily Podcast. I'm Georgina Robinson. I'm with Tom Deason. It is match eve. And I've got to say, Tommy, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm starting to get excited too. I am excited now. The streets of Beppu, where we're staying, which is the next town near Oita, are flowing. Just caught up with a few mates who are here for the game. There's gold, there's red, there's white. What other countries
are
here?
There's blue. So much blue. Yeah. Heaps of Frenchies. I just caught up with a few strangers. I was in one of the small bars waiting for you to come from Beppu and met Jeff Davies, who played with the University of Queensland, a Welshman who came out on a lark and played for University of Queensland for 10 years and coached them for 15 years.
Okay.
Knows Greg Martin, dished all the dirt on Greg.
Fantastic.
Was an absolute handful to coach, apparently. And knows our fellow scribes, Jim Tucker and Wayne Smithall from the News Corporation stables. And he's here for the Wales game, but has lived in Hervey Bay after moving up from Brisbane and will be shouting for the Wallabies. And these are the nights. I mean, these just define World Cups, you know, when there were... I was speaking to a Frenchman before he arrived and, you know, there were heaps of English. There was a goddamn... Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, breakout song group in this like 2 meter by 4 meter bar, which was pretty painful as an Australian to hear. I was like wanting to put up a one woman waltzing Matilda. Was that close to doing it too. Just held back. But it's just a great atmosphere around the place if you just count all the poms.
And now we are recording the podcast, not in a bar, in a stairwell.
In a stairwell.
With a durry machine behind us if we wanted to have a fag while we do the
and
pod.
And a bicycle if we want to scoot off afterwards.
Yeah. Gee, we might have written our last preview piece at the World Cup.
Ooh, I hope not. And do you know what? I'm having that late spike in confidence.
Okay.
That has tripped up many a Wallabies fan. But I... I think after covering England all week and seeing that selection change and seeing that things are really close to the surface with Eddie, I think he's under a little bit of strain and they've made a really defensive selection tweak. And then I haven't followed the Wallabies all week, but I listened to the captain's press conference on Friday and I looked at the photos that Stuart Walmsley, the great photographer, took. And I saw a really intensely serious Michael Checker, and I saw a really focused Michael Hooper, and then the rest of the team looked really relaxed, and I just feel like I actually think they might have nailed their preparation, and that's not to say they'll win the game, but I do think they will put everything out there, and to use a Checkerism in case it's the last time I do, you know, the cards will fall where they may, but I think this isn't an underdone Australia, and this isn't an Australia that's, you know, going in taking anything lightly. I think they are absolutely focused on the task in hand, and we'll see their best out there.
Interesting to see as well, like obviously coaches talk about wanting the absolute perfect prep, trying to do everything very similar week to week regardless of the occasion, but like they would never admit today how the prep has been. They're always going to say, of course, it's been 100%. But sometimes in hindsight, they say maybe it was off in that. It would be really interesting to know, obviously, given it is a massive game, how it has been behind closed doors, given the limited vision we get to see. So, for example, today at Captain's Run that I was at on Friday, we basically get to see a few blokes kick a ball. Bernard Foley, I couldn't see. My vision's not great, but I believe it was Bernard kicking some high bombs to Kirtley. I expect Owen Farrell to just be absolutely peppering him as per normal. Kirtley's a little susceptible under the high ball, and it's interesting they've gone for him over Dane Haylett-Petty, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, Michael Hooper at his presser seemed pretty relaxed. Like, it was interesting as well. I wrote about it. I found it really interesting that he just said he was nervous. Like, he came out really openly and said, yeah, I'm really nervous. And he said, it's because I care, but at the same time,
it's
I feel
thing.
Alive. Yeah, and it is a good thing. It's refreshing to hear that from these guys who, when it boils down to it, you know, it's a Graham Henry quote comes back to mind. Whilst these guys aren't young, you know, Michael Hooper's played at a World Cup final, but they might be shitting themselves going into this England game.
But what I loved about Hoops' quote was, like, I was nervous for the first game for the Tars this year, and I was nervous before the trial. Like, nerves are part of it, and you need them. And, yeah, as you did say, you know you're alive. And you don't, like... That's what I kind of got a bit out of the England camp. There was a bit of, you know, we're sticking to the same stuff. We know it's different, it's a quarterfinal, but it's the same processes. And I feel like the Aussies, I do think Australia play the best when they're relaxed, focused but relaxed. And I do feel like that's the vibe we're getting out of the camp. And I just saw some, there were some great images of Sakopi Kepu, you know, the uncle, the oldest bloke in that team bar Adam Ashley Cooper, and certainly one of the most experienced, getting a giggle out of Jordan Pataia.
Yeah.
You know, the youngest, and I love that. And then I saw them in a huddle and Matt Tamua kind of looking back and waiting, and it was Kepu coming in, and I just feel like There was a lot of camaraderie in that squad, and I think that I just think that's fantastic. And I also liked what Hoop said, kind of leading on from that, is that we know we can get ourselves out of situations. We don't want to be. The point is not to be winning at half time. The point is to win at the end. So however we do that, and however we keep our cool, is, you know, we can do that. And I like that. I like that they're kind of prepared to battle through come what may, which they have shown in the lead up as well.
Yeah, I mean, their second halves have been pretty good. They've won every second half of the World Cup. Clearly the slow start to what we're talking about, but when you compare that, you know, I've written about it in Saturday's paper, a big piece on the second half fade outs, like against England in the six previous losses are pretty ridiculous. Like the first half's all up a 78 to 67 across six matches. Australia, I think, have led a couple of times there. And then the
at
second half
time.
At half time,
yeah,
and then 132 to 53. That's an aggregate across six games in the second half. England traditionally strong bench. Is it fitness? It's hard to tell, but they, in numerous occasions, have streaked away. I think in Twickenham in 16, 17, and 18, second halves have been 24-5, 24-6, and 24-5. So there's obviously a real pattern there. Yeah.
But I think Australia's bench is super strong. I think O'Connor's fantastic coming off the bench. I think their reserve front rowers are great, and their kind of second row loosies. I think the Aussie bench will do the job. Nick White coming on could be really fantastic. I think they're really evenly matched teams, and I do think that England are weaker for not having played a game.
The other thing too that, you know, it won't get touched on this week because obviously not playing, but a guy like Sakopi Kepu, Adam Ashley Cooper, they're not playing in the 23. You know, they're not going to have a magical send-off. You know, if they win the World Cup and they're playing, fantastic. But you know what I mean? Like, they could have very well played their last Wallabies test. There's a number of guys in that team that have said they're pulling up stumps. Will Genia, David Pocock, it could be very much their last games if things don't go Australia's way. Can we get a tip from you, G? All the punters are desperate for your...
Said no punter ever. Wallabies by 5 for me.
Okay.
And I think it'll be high scoring.
Cool. I think England by 14, reasonably tight at halftime, and same old story with a very controversial card.
That would certainly be the killer. If there's a card, Australia, it's all over for Australia.
Three cards for the Wallabies in two games. They've spoken about it at length. They know what they have to do. Don't hit blokes around the head.
But it's that weird... it's such a funny one because they, you know, they... Michael Checker took 3 weeks, I think, to acknowledge that their discipline was an issue. But then at the same time, anytime you ask guys, are you going to change the way you play? No. So, you know, it's hard to know where the truth is in how they're approaching all of that. But absolutely, if there's a card, then it's all over for Australia. But look, Owen Farrell, I mean, that's interesting. He's the guy who's generally... he's the one who's had a history of a pretty shonky tackle technique.
to say the least.
To say the least, and has recently sort of been targeted in reverse. But, you know, that'll be interesting how Australia handles him and attacks him. And we'll see what he can bring. His form, it's the talking point out of England. His form's been not been great, and Eddie Jones has had to sort of take him under his wing, or have continuous dialogue with him about focusing more on his own prep now that he's captain. It's his first year as captain, full captain, and now that he's captain, to not get carried away with the other stuff, but actually make sure that the number one priority is solid form. Why have you got a sly smile?
Oh, just thinking, obviously listening, but thinking about what this podcast is going to be tomorrow night, like trying to predict that. Obviously you think Wallabies will win, I think England will win. What's that press conference going to be like with one of those coaches who's just lost a quarter final? Under expectations, of course, you know, two teams who have been very much immersed in that top four at, you know, sort of the bulk of the last, well, this World Cup cycle, until the Wallabies have peeled it back a bit. What are they, sixth now? They're sixth at the moment currently behind South Africa.
Both coaches will be asked if they still think they're the right people to lead their teams.
Going to be a busy, busy night.
It'll be a really busy night.
Crack at the other quarters. Your thoughts? New Zealand, will they get it done over Ireland?
Yes, I think New Zealand will get it done over Ireland. I think they'll win the World Cup. I'd really like to believe that Japan can do it again. I think they'll have the game plan. I'm just not sure they'll have the petrol in the tank. So I might call South Africa on that. And I think...
Wales,
I'm a romantic. I'd love France to beat Wales. I haven't watched enough of them at this World Cup, and I think Wales are a very good team. So I think Wales will beat France. What do you think?
I'm just trying to find my tips, but yeah, I said England by 13 points. I still think 14 points. New Zealand by 12. I'm going to tip France by 1. I haven't seen a really super close game for a while at the World Cup. So I'm more than happy to go 1 point there, and I think the box by 8, just because I love Rassie and he's my man. I hope they get it done. I'd love a New Zealand South Africa final if the Wallabies weren't in it, of course, but mountain to climb. Assuming New Zealand beat Ireland, they would have to play New Zealand in the semi-final, and that would mean probably a busy 8 days for us, I'd say, if necessary, given that we are, you know, at this stage staying until the Wallabies stay around. So yeah, could be over sooner than later.
Game Eve, Tommy.
We're going to keep a lid on it tonight? We should.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Got to be, it's an early kickoff. We've got to be at our peak. I'm writing a story about Japan for Sunday's paper tomorrow before the game, so I've got to have a clear head and a sharp mind for that one. Talking to Craig Wing tomorrow morning, actually.
Cool.
Yeah. Who obviously played for Japan under Eddie, so talking about Japan's evolution. Anyway, but first, the game. So let's go get a feed and then go to our beds.
Yeah, big night ahead of travel. We actually have to travel over the mountain to go to our hotel. how good's podcasting, no footage. Thanks, guys. Big night for tomorrow. We're pumped. I'm pumped. That podcast has pumped me up. I'm ready. Just done my last
one. I have that effect on people.
Yeah, you've energy levels are high, very high.
Thanks for tuning in again. Hopefully it is not our penultimate podcast. Hopefully there are many more to come. But we'll talk to you again from Oita Stadium on Saturday night.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.